Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Now we go from the sacred to the profane, and a huge buzz around about this Sex and the City reboot. It's called And Just Like That, and it starts on TV on Thursday. And what it is, it's a fast forward to today and to what Carrie, Miranda and Charlotte, no Samantha, would be up to now in their 50s. And I'm joined on the line now from London by journalist Helen Kerwin-Taylor. Helen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And Helen, the reason I'm talking to you is because, as people know, the character of Carrie was based on the real life experience of the creator, Candace Bushnell. You knew Candace and you were part of that real life kind of the Sex and the City scene in New York in the 80s. Paint us a picture of the times and the scene.
Well, I mean, it was an extraordinary time, which I don't think will ever be repeated. And it was just, it was the boom economy. And all of these really talented kids were graduating and going into really glamorous jobs that were actually not that difficult to get. And, you know, there was no, New York was the center of all talent. I mean, whether you were a banker or an artist or a writer or a musician, you went to New York. And of course, these were very brave kids. Many came with no money and they just came with this kind of, I want to be a player. So everyone was a player.
And I get the impression that it didn't matter if you had money, that the wealthy set mixed with anyone as long as you were kind of interesting or glamorous or outrageous.
Well, there was this kind of community. I mean, because New York was such a financial center and there were so many men, you know, particular earning, you know, absurd salaries for their age, there was just the sense that, you know, in order for everybody to have fun, you know, those who earn more money should pick up the tab of those who earn less. Mm. And, you know, there wasn't any, you know, no one was ashamed of earning less money. It was just kind of, you're a banker, you do that job, so you pay for me because, what, you know, that's just the way it is. And, you know, I lived with two bankers who subsidized my rent because I knew lots of fun, glamorous people who were part of that group. And, you know, my deal was I threw the parties and they, you know, they paid my rent. So, you know, that was the spirit of New York in those days.
Yeah, fantastic. And do you remember meeting Candace first?
I remember. So I was beginning to date my husband, who was really much more her friend than I was. And they all weekended in Fisher's Island. And, you know, so Candace was part of that weekend group, part of that summer group. And she was particularly close to a publisher called Entrekin. And, you know, they were there every single weekend. And it was the most glamorous group of writers and publishers and journalists and also bankers, you know, some sort of fashion it girls. I mean, it was, you know, coming, I mean, I'm not, you know, from a farm or anything, but even for me, it was, they were really the most glamorous people I had ever met.
Yeah.
And you know, I grew up in Europe. So for me, you know, that usually Americans don't cut it. But, you know, Candace was, she always wore these kind of frothy, you know, long, sleeveless sort of nights, you know, what you'd wear for a ball. I mean, she wore them on weekends. You know,
fantastic.
That just wasn't what I was used to.
Yeah. And presumably she had no money at that stage, did she? I mean, I know Carrie in the show seemed to kind of sustain a very glamorous lifestyle by tapping out one column on her bed once a week. But like Candace, as a kind of a jobbing hack around the place, wouldn't have been wealthy enough to live that life, would she?
No, but, you know, in those days, journalism paid.
Okay.
So don't forget that if you wrote features, you were paid 10 times more than you were today. And the freebies were enormous.
Yeah.
But no, she was very much, no, she had no money and she was always crashing at people's houses. And she was a professional guest. And that was another, you know, big part of New York, which was, you know, the everybody kind of spilled out to the Hamptons or Fisher's Island. And then they filled their houses with friends every weekend. So you could spend, you know, entire summers not even paying for fuel
because
someone drove you. Yeah.
And it was the partying hard?
The partying was a star, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, I think I did. I remember one night I sort of joined in and I barely survived. And they were, you know, they were at it every night, and, you know, of which, you know, the alcohol played a huge part. But, you know, if I drank the kind of alcohol that, you know, black label whiskey, you know, the kind of the real thing, I would have been in a hospital. But they did it and they got up the next, I mean, they got up early. Yeah. And, you know, everybody exercised, you know, then they, you know, we went for long, you know, walks and picnics on the beach, and then they started again. And often they started at noon.
Yeah. God, isn't it great to be young and have the stamina? Yeah.
The stamina. Well, I mean, Candace particularly, I have to say.
Okay. good old Candace. And obviously managed to produce great work while she was doing it as well. But yeah, again.
She was always working. And actually one of my friends who was very much part of the Fisher's Island, I mean, we all believe that Fisher's Island is where she got a lot of her material. And there were a lot of changing bedrooms and things like that, or girls that would come with one man one weekend and then with a different man the next weekend. And I think she, I think, you know, she would have made her, some of her characters were based on some of the people who came for the weekends.
Always observing. And then I know that the kind of map of what happens then, and it kind of brings us up to maybe where Sex and Just Like That might be at now. Isn't it that when everybody gets to a certain age, they settle down and they move out of Manhattan, don't they?
Well, there is a hardcore group of people who just never did. And I think that that's going to be a theme as well, because she never really did. And I think, I mean, to be honest, I think the smart ones, you know, realized that it had all come to an end, and, you know, that they weren't those people anymore. And they, you know, they move, or they, you know, they get married, they have children, they do the usual. But there's still a hardcore group when you go to New York and you're still at it, and you just think, how did you survive?
Yeah. It can look a bit, it can be a bit of a tragic look at a particular point, though, if you're still
well,
at it.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And it can, you know, they say, you know, you pay, you know, you pay for what you did. And, but yeah, so I think she's, you know, I think we're going to see a bit of the kind of regret of, you know, having chosen to party above settle down. But she, you know, she does examine that.
Yeah, but I think Candace was one smart cookie. Like, I don't think she was a casualty in any way of all that. Like, she might have never left, but I'd say because she didn't want to, and she's still going, still working very well, and made a great life for herself. What did you think of Sex and the City when you first watched it?
Well, I mean, it was the most intoxicating show for all of us that were there at the time. And not only because we knew Candace, you know, that was by and by, but just because, you know, it was about us, you know, because, you know, if you remember the time, I mean, American sitcoms were kind of silly, you know, family sitcoms. And then they, you know, the Dynasty started and stuff like that, which to me was, you know, might as well have been a, you know, about space. But then came this show that was edgy, that was real. That was actually very real. And those of us who had lived in New York recognized all sorts. Not only those were the restaurants we went to, the bars, everything in there was real. And
so
I think
what would you be hoping for now from the characters in their 50s? Are there new themes to explore now?
Yeah, I think I really want to know how this hard party set, which by the way was the most inclusive, you know, how have they navigated this new world of squeaky clean of wokeness? You know, you go to parties in New York, no one is drinking now, and they look at you if you have a drink as if you need to go into rehab immediately. Yeah. And you know, Candace is not immune to this, so I want to see how is she going to tongue in cheek take the subject on, because I don't think the writers will shy away from some critique, because that's what it was always about. There's a critique of society, a critique of men, a critique of certain kind of women. And I do think we need to critique the fact that New York is now pretending that it doesn't do the things it does behind closed doors, which, by the way, it still does.
Yeah,
so there's a kind of two-facedness to it, which there didn't in those days. It didn't. I mean, people showed up to work, you know, completely hungover, and their bosses knew what they were doing because their bosses were doing it too. And now the bosses are doing it, but they pretend they don't.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where, you know, I think we've all separated. So I do think these themes will come up. And also, how do you navigate the boredom of domestic life in the country? I mean, you know, in the suburbs, after you had that sort of life.
Helen Kerwin-Taylor, it was a pleasure talking to you. I have no doubt that you were a fantastic addition to that scene.
I was central to it.
I'd say your charm got you everywhere. Helen, great to talk to you.
Lovely to talk to you too.
Bye. Okay, bye-bye. We'll take a break.